We're returning to Acts chapter 25. Today we're looking at verses 15 through 16. Festus is explaining why he still has Paul incarcerated at Caesarea Maritima. And so he tells Agrippa II, "When I was in Jerusalem, the leading priests and Jewish elders pressed charges against him and asked me to condemn him. I pointed out to them that Roman law does not convict people without a trial. They must be given an opportunity to confront their accusers and defend themselves." Now, as I mentioned, Festus notes that the Jews had formally pressed charges against Paul. They had Tertullus read them out as formal accusations. Festus is, in fact, explaining why Paul's case ended up on his docket. The Jews had lodged the formal accusations before Festus, a Roman official. This was the Jewish right under Roman law. Accordingly, Paul's case was more than a religious dispute. It had legal implications that necessitated Roman adjudication. Then notice how Festus frames his response to the Sanhedrin. "I pointed out to them that Roman law does not convict people without a trial. They must be given an opportunity to confront their accusers and defend themselves." We will come back to this, but let me say that Festus' summary of the rights of the accused under Roman law is really important. Law by the Romans gave each person who was a citizen the right to defend himself. It's interesting that British law also adopted this stance, as did our succeeding American system. The U.S. Constitution expressly states this: "In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial, and to be informed of the nature and the cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense." Well, under Roman law, citizens were afforded the right to an open court hearing in which the charges against them were enunciated and they were given the opportunity to reply. These rights were not afforded to non-citizens. However, they were not totally without recourse. Well, this is some fascinating history. So let me cover the rights of non-citizens under Roman law before the historic change that took place in 212 AD. First of all, there is legal limited protection. Before AD 212, free residents without citizenship, called peregrini, had limited legal rights. They were subject to local laws, but in disputes with Roman citizens, they might face bias. Second, they had no immunity to torture. Unlike citizens, non-citizens could be legally tortured for evidence or to secure a confession in Roman courts, especially under summary justice known as de plano. Third, no right to appeal. Citizens had the right to appeal a death sentence directly to the emperor. Peregrini lacked this crucial safeguard, which was left to the discretion of the provincial governors. And finally, self-defense recognition. Roman law did recognize the general principles of self-defense. Theoretically, this might apply to non-citizens, but in practice, a non-citizen's ability to claim this depended largely on the magistrate. We'll come back to verses 17 and 18 next time on Verse by Verse.